here this morning, and some of my friends from here want me to wear a Georgia shirt where y'all could take some pictures and send it to Jim. But I told Amy last night as we was trying to prepare and get ready for the service, I never just could get settled on anything. And I wanted to, and I like to. I like to get settled and know where God kind of in the direction that God wanted us to go this morning. But, you know, a good woman's hard to find. And she said he'll give you what we all stand in need of. And truly he did this morning. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with us, we'll be reading out of the book of Luke. I'd like to read one verse first, Luke chapter 9. You know, the Bible says that we're laborers with God. And I appreciate we serve one that when he commissions the work, he's always there with us. He never leaves us. You know, a lot of times when I send guys to do jobs, building fence or whatever, you know, I send them alone. But God never sends us out alone. He's always with us to help us. I want you to just pray for a little while. And, you know, Miss Jackie said this morning, she said, just open your mouth. And I like to have things laid out kind of like Jim, but you know, God just didn't see fit this morning. So whatever you hear is going to come straight from the throne of heaven. It's going to come from my heart this morning, and it'll be good. If we look at verse 56 in chapter 9, it says, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And I just want to say this morning that that's what Christ has come to do. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous. That was the one thing I struggled with this morning, not this morning, but it's what I struggled with it as a human being, as a person, to accept the work of the cross, that Christ came to save me. But I didn't know what he came to save me from. I'd heard about sin and heard about hell and heard about a lot of things, but I didn't feel like I was going there because I was a good person. But as we read the scripture, he come to say that which is lost, and humanity was lost. And the Bible says that God was working through Christ to reconcile us back into him today. And so if you jump over into chapter 10, and this is really, I feel like, the heart of the message this morning. Chapter 10, verse 1. He says, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into this harvest." And you know, a lot of times in our life we question God, or we say, well, you know, maybe it's not the right time to talk to this person or talk to my wife or my husband or my kids, you know, about the Lord or a brother or sister, whoever it may be. But if you look in John chapter 4, I'll read it. It says, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already into harvest." So as we think about today and we think about where we are as humanity and in this world, there's a great harvest going on. And God has commissioned the church to go out and to win lost souls. I found this out this week, that 2% of the church share their faith. Only 2%. So that means if there's 100 people, there's only 2 of you running around here sharing your faith. And so we wonder a lot of times why why America is where it's at. Do we not realize that less than 100 years ago, most all local churches around here were filled? Matter of fact, there was people at the windows trying to get in to see what the preacher was saying. Some of you might not believe that, but it's the gospel. I've talked to a lot of the older ones, and people hungered and thirsted. But people were sharing their faith. People wasn't afraid. We've reached a day and a time now where people are afraid to be politically correct. Now, I'm not saying we have to run around and thump people in the head with God's word. That's not what God's teaching. Christ had compassion when he went out to the world. He come to seek and to save that which is lost. And me and you today are a part of the body of Christ. So if we are a part of him, then our common goal, more than anything, should be to seek and save that which is lost. Our prayer when we wake up, not only just to be close to God and feel his presence and his directions, but say, Lord, open a door that I may win some lost people for you. I looked this up last night, and I read it in the 8 o'clock service. There's 55.3 million people die each year. So when you look at it, you know, a year, 12 months, you know, I mean, that is a lot of people in a year. But there's 151,000 people die each day. We're going to drop it down one more. There's 6,316 people die each hour. So from when the 8 o'clock service started till it ended, there were 6,300 people died. How many of them knew the Lord? How many of them didn't? See, those numbers, when you begin to get small like that, when you start talking hours and days, that begins to speak to Adam Toole. Because how many people does Adam Toole come in contact with on an hourly basis, on a daily basis? And what is Adam Toole doing to further the kingdom of God? Or am I just relaxed in my Christianity and my salvation and just thankful that I'm going to heaven and not worried about anybody else? Now, what I'm going to say is it probably to a lot of you going to taste real good, spiritually speaking. But it's God's holy word, and it's for me and you today to realize it's our job, because we are a part of the body, to reach a lost and dying world. Amen. It's our job. Why? Because God's word says there is a harvest. You know, most of you probably plant a garden, and if you don't go out there and pick it, you ain't going to be eating anything. Can I tell you today that there's people that have never actually led somebody to the Lord or even sowed a seed. And I'm afraid that when they get to heaven, that's all they're going to be, is just in heaven. There's not going to be any rewards for them. But God's commissioned us to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. You know, if you can't share the gospel of Christ, then at least we can go out and compel people to come into the house of God where Jim can preach the gospel to them. Because it's appointed once the man to die, and after the death, the judgment. There's been over 6,000 people that were fixing to stand before God since the 8 o'clock service. And I wonder how many people I missed. I wonder how many people you missed. It's so urgent, church, for us to be about our Father's business. Can I tell you that you're going to wake up in the morning and most of you got jobs. Most of you like your jobs and some of you love your jobs. But you still get up and do it whether you love it or like it. Because that's the job. God has a job, a spiritual job for me and you today, to go out to Adairsville, Georgia, and not be ashamed of the gospel. Christ said, I have this bracelet on. He said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And I'm not saying, church, that we have to go out and beat them over the head with a Bible. But we could hand them a gospel tract. I do that all the time. Just hand nothing but a tract, $1 million bill with a gospel on it. And I say, hey, when you get time, there's $1 million question on there. See if you can answer it and be truthful. Because eternity is for eternity. This life is just a vapor. It's here for a moment. And it vanished away. The Bible says, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Man, you can work and work and work and work. I read it in Proverbs this week that we can work and obtain all these things. But when I leave here, the Bible says I came into this world with nothing, and that's what I'll leave with. So what's the most important? What should be our main goal as a body of believers? Not just me and not just you, but all of us coming together, praying for one another, a common goal, reaching people. You know, just like they said, the cooks went to Romania. I've been to Romania. We have missionaries going all over the world. But seems like here lately we got more missionaries going out into the uttermost parts of the world and we forgot about America. There's America people here that are dying, and we got to give them the Word of God with love and compassion. When Christ came, if you'll realize, when Christ was hard on people, it was to the religious people that think they knew everything. But those that knew nothing, he had compassion on them. He loved them, and he shared the words of truth with them and left it up to them. The rich young ruler come to Christ and said, good master, what must I do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus said, why you call me good? There's not none good but one. It's the Father above. And you begin to name off some commandments. Can I tell you today that's what we need to give a lost and dying world, is not the grace of God, but the law of God. Paul said, I would not have known that sin was sin but by the law. The law reveals sin. Can I tell you today, if somebody would have shared the law with me instead of the grace of God, I realized I was a sinner. My mouth would have been stopped. I'd have quit justifying myself and how good I was. My mouth would have been stopped because old Adam here was just an old country boy. I don't do anybody wrong. I try to treat everybody right, do the right thing, be the right kind of old country boy. That's the way I was raised. But the law stopped me. Because the law said, have you ever lied? I said, yes, Lord, I have lied. I've lied to my mama. And I've lied to my daddy. I've even lied to my wife. Have I ever stolen anything? Sure I have. Stole some watermelons one time out of an old field to get up some money. Have I ever committed adultery? Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and you lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery already. Even if I've physically not done those things, in my mind I have, and I've trying to justify myself because I've not done it in the flesh. We have to give the world the law. We have to give them the law. That's what the law was for. Paul said in the Word, he says, the law is good if it's used lawfully. But we are so politically correct, we don't want to hurt no one's feelings. We don't want to upset nobody. And so we just tell them about the love of God instead of the wrath of God that's coming. Can I tell you today that God's been dealing with me for over a week, that he said, I'm coming, and they better be ready and they better be prepared. Jesus is coming. I preached 3 weeks ago in a cowboy church service over there about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. I told them in the service this morning that not everyone that sits in a church is saved. Not everyone has the oil in their lamp. Some people look like they have the oil, but not everyone has the oil. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling today. Search your own heart today. I'm not here to condemn anybody, but I'm here to speak what thus saith the Word of God. Search your own heart. See where you stand before God today. Five were wise, five were foolish. Can I tell you there's only two kinds of people in this world? There's wise people and there's foolish people. Those that have the oil in their lamps that they carry with them are wise. What does that represent, preacher? It represents the Holy Spirit. How He comes and lives within us. And He lights our steps and He lights our way. He guides our path. But five were foolish. I told Miss Jackie, I heard a story just a few weeks ago of a little old lady was in her 70s, had been going to church since she was 7 years old. She got saved. Why did it take so long? I don't know. But praise God she got it before she left. It's very urgent. Because there's six, but by the time this service is over, there'll be 6,000 people in this world that will be dead. And they'll stand before God. And it's up to me and you to plant seeds. It's up to me and you to water those seeds and quit worrying about what we're doing Monday through Thursday and Friday so that we can enjoy Saturday and Sunday. I mean, I enjoy my weekends too. But every time I walk out on the street and I look at people, I wonder, are they going to heaven? Are they going to be like that rich man that lifted up his eyes? And he said, Father Abraham, I'm tormented in these flames. The world, the devil himself, has blinded the minds in this world. He's lulling the church to sleep in slumber, letting us forget about a lost and dying world that's outside this church. I love good services. I enjoyed the other day when Jim wanted us to write down things that we struggle with. I struggle with things too. I'm flesh just like you. I remember writing them down and coming up here and laying them at the feet of God and praying and feeling His presence. Oh, I love it when people shout and are filled with the Holy Spirit. I love those things. I love getting in here and worshiping with y'all and praising God and thanking Him for all of His goodness and His mercy and grace. I said in the 8 o'clock service, Peter, James, and John experienced the same thing on Mount Transfiguration when God carried those three up. See, there was a close personal relationship with them three in Christ. Because Christ always showed them something a little bit more than the others. The Bible says those that hunger shall be filled. And I believe those three men did hunger and thirst. And He carried them up there. And the Bible says He began to be transformed. Oh, and they beheld His glory. How many times have you sat in this place and beheld the glory of God? You felt His presence. You've seen Him work through people. You heard it through the preached word. You lifted your hands during the singing. Just being in God's presence is amazing. And there was Moses and Elijah talking with them. And then Peter, right in the midst, goes to running his mouth. Reminds me of myself a lot of times when God's moving. I get in the way. He said, oh, Lord, he said, all this is going on. And Peter says, Lord, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. And God stops him right in the midst. He said, this is my son. Hear his word. Can I tell you today, we've got to get out of comfort Christianity and staying inside this local assembly. And we got to get out. Because Jesus, Peter, James, and John come down off the mountain and went down there and went to work. Went to work. Work's not fun and work's not easy. But like I said, only 2% of us are really sharing our faith. Only 2% of us go outside these doors and begin to let God use us. We don't have to be perfect. God's not looking for someone that's perfect. He's not looking for someone that's a theologian in the Bible. He's not looking for someone that are great in their prayers. What He's looking for someone that is able-bodied in mind to say, Lord, here am I. Send me whatever You want to do with me, Lord. Here am I. Use me. If you'll notice, God didn't use righteous people. He used humble people. Why? Because that's the kind of people that God can use. He used humble people. He used Moses, a murderer. Moses was a murderer. And He still used him. See, Moses wasn't perfect. But see, He still used him. God can use me and you today to reach people. I told Miss Jackie, y'all, that's a special woman in y'all's church. She's a special woman. And I'm not lifting her up, but it's because of her obedience. When I get around her, I can about shout because of what's going on in her life. She has a great relationship with God. It's so important for me and you to have that relationship and to share our faith with others. I watched my oldest girl get thrown off a horse this week. And I run for about 300 yards. And she laid there on the ground and wouldn't move while I'm running. And I'm thinking as I'm running and my wife's screaming at me, she could be dead. But all I want to do is get my hands on her. I knew if I ever got my hands on her, it was going to be all right. And I did. I got my hands on her. Long story short, she's fine. She's banged up, but she'll be fine. But God shows me something spiritual. There's people laying out there dying. Charles Spurgeon says in one place, in one of his writings, that the lost ought to be having to leap over us to go into hell. They ought to be having to climb over us. If we've truly had the compassion that Jesus had. See, Jesus was our true witness. The Bible says He went about doing good, healing all that were sick, all that were sin sick and oppressed of the devil. Jesus went about doing good because of the nature of God that was inside of Jesus. He was God manifest in the flesh. And God's speaking to me and you today to go out to our workplaces and start sharing our faith. Go out to the schools. Go out to the public places and start handing out gospel tracts in some way, in some fashion, and encouraging others. You know what I do sometimes at the QT? I'll pull up there. I'll just start sticking them in gas handles. I just stick them in, fold them up, stick them in gas handles, because I know somebody's going to be coming through there in a minute and they're going to get gas. And what is this? I can't go to everybody. Jesus said it's expedient for me to go, because if I go, the Holy Spirit comes. And then He says, greater works you will do because I'm with the Father. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will begin to move inside of me and you. Jesus could only reach so many people. But the Spirit of Jesus, if He truly lives in us today, can go out into a world and begin to speak to others. I'll read this to you this morning. Right after He says, for the Son of Man cometh not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. There's three kinds of people here that come to Jesus. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Can I tell you today what this means to me? Jesus wasn't about building up something here on earth that was going to be destroyed, where he could rest his head, but he knew there was a greater kingdom. He knew there was a greater kingdom, and he was trying to explain to this man the same way he explains to me and you. Let us not get so comfortable in this world to lay up treasures here where moth and rust can corrupt and thieves can break through and steal, but lay our treasures up in heaven. Can I tell you, every person that you sow a seed into is your treasure. Every person that you lead to God is your treasure. And it's so important, because that's what we can carry with us. I've had the opportunity to preach a lot. I've seen a lot of people saved at times. But those that mean the most is when it's a one-on-one personal experience. And I have compassion for them. There was another man that come to Christ. Jesus said, "Follow me," but he said, "Suffer me first to go bury my father." And Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom." Now, Christ wasn't saying that he couldn't go bury his father, but when God commissions us, when God speaks to us, that is the most important thing ever. It's the most, preach the kingdom. I'll see my earthly father again. But it's very, very important for me to go preach, share, proclamate the kingdom of God. Because that's what will change lives. The kingdom of God will change lives. It changed my life. I'm not perfect. And you're not perfect. God knows that. But he does look for obedience. And he looks for brokenness. See, I had to get to a place in my life and get broken. And then when I got broken, God began to use me. And I said, "But Lord, I can't read. I can't lay things out like other preachers do. I can't do those things." God says, "I don't want you to do it like them. I want you to do it the way I want you to do it. Because I'm going to use you. I'm just an old country boy from Northwest Florida. Yeah, but I can still use you. Yeah, but Lord, I've committed all these sins. Yeah, but I've forgiven you. But Lord, sometimes I'm aggravating, I get mean. Yeah, but there's still mercy." See, we look for every excuse and reason why we don't need to be out there in the highways and the byways to compel them to come into the house of the Lord or encourage them. And Christ has already took care of those things. All he's looking for is for us to be obedient. Just like Peter, James, and John. Just stand firm in your faith. And let God work. I encourage you today to think about these things that I've said. I hope you meditate upon them for several days to come. And to realize you might be the one that reaches that person. It was said in the 8 o'clock service that there was don't know the whole details, but there was this girl that called a friend and wanted her to come over. I don't know what the girl was struggling with, but she said, "I can't right now, I'm at work." But by the time work got over, the girl had committed suicide. Can I tell you today, I guarantee you that lady would have rather lost her job if she knew she could have changed that lady's mind. Anybody in their right mind would, I hope. There's so much that me and you can do out there if we'll forget about our own lives. See, Jesus forsook his life. He was sitting up there with a heavenly Father. But he forgot about his life, and he come down here and he bore this old sinful flesh for me and you. See, Christ died. He is a living sacrifice for me and you. He came and bore those things. He took it for me and you when they took those crown of thorns and they shoved them on his head. He done it for me and you when they spit upon him. He done that for me and you. And then when they nailed him to the cross, he did that for me and you. And all God's asking in return is that we do the same for Christ. Be a living sacrifice. That's why Peter said, told the lame man there at the gate, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. He said, arise and walk. That's what God's looking for, somebody that will take a hold of the gospel like Peter and John did and go out into the world. And no matter what they say, no matter how much they persecute them, that they'll preach the gospel today. Where do you stand today? How are you today? Is your faith this strong? Remember, it's 10:02. So that means 6,316 people have lost their lives since we've been here in this service. 6,316 people. When you leave here today, in some way or some fashion, go out to Adairsville, go to your homes, get on your phones, because the Bible says there is appointed a day and God will judge this world. He's going to judge it. You know, a lot of you have appointments. You got an appointment tomorrow. You'll have an appointment Tuesday. I don't know anything about it, but you're going to be at that appointment. Well, God's got an appointment for humanity. And they're going to stand before Him. And it could be before this day's over. He says that nobody even knows the day and the hour. Not even Jesus knows. So let's be ready. Let's prepare ourselves every day that we wake up. So when we go out into our world, we're ready to share our faith with others, that they can have eternal life. I'll share this one story and then we'll let the singers come up. And there was a friend of mine, his great-grandmother. They said she was a real mean woman. You don't think hell's real, I'm fixing to. It says in the Bible, so I know it's real. But he said his great-grandmother was a mean woman. Said she got sick and was dying and was laying there in the bed. And in her last few minutes, she was crying to her husband to go get a bucket of cold water and pour on her, for she was tormented. She was stepping out of the natural into the supernatural. She was stepping into the spiritual realm. And I've heard other things like it. Hey, if we don't get a grasp that hell's real, then when we go out, we won't witness. Can I tell you today, the reason why we wear seatbelts today is because we see the danger today. When me and you will get out and realize that hell's real and heaven's real and people are dying every day, we'll get out of our comfort zone, we'll get outside, we'll get out of these walls and come down off the mountain and come down off our spiritual high horse, and we'll do the work that God has called us to do for the kingdom of God. Because I ain't going to be here forever. And if the Lord tarries His coming another 100 years, I hope there's another redneck country boy that can't speak a bit of English or hardly read the Bible that's up here trying to preach God's word. Amen? Because that's what it's about. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to You. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, for the blessings of life. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, that the harvest truly is plentiful, Lord. But Your word said the laborers are few. Lord, I know there's some here, Lord, that's physically not able, Lord, to do that. Get out. But Lord, they can pray, dear Heavenly Father. They can pray with all their heart, Lord, for us that are able, dear Lord. But there's some, Lord, that are here that, Lord, have not. And I pray, Lord, that You'll just begin to work in their heart, Lord, that this word is a word of compassion to guide. And that people, when they look at someone, where will they spend eternity? Where will they spend eternity? I pray, Lord, that we'll search our hearts, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray. I know You're dealing with them right now. I feel Your presence. Lord, if there's someone here and they have lost loved ones, dear Heavenly Father, and they don't don't know how, Lord, that they would come to these altars, Lord, and begin to pour their heart out, Lord, to you, and that we could pray for them, Lord, because of the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers is few. We love you, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.